his time to come down here and just out of surgery not too long ago. Doing good.
Thank you, buddy.
Amen. Love you, Nick.
Love you, buddy.
Love you, too.
I like that green tie and green shirt.
How do you like that great beard?
Well, I like it. Listen, let me tell you something. We will not be able to live with Junior Smith, will we, after this? No. We won't be able to live with him. Pretty hard now already. Let me tell you what he done. Y'all ready? Noah, was you with us? Let me see. Who, Brother Art, where'd you go? Was you with us when we went to Mexico? You wasn't? Okay. Listen to this. Y'all to get a kick out of it. You was, wasn't you, Amy? We go to Mexico, and we're working. And they didn't have no cold water, no hot water. So Noah and I, our beards was growed out. You just can't believe it. There's about 30 of us on the plane, and we're coming home. The stewardess looked up, and she said, he's putting his guitar up, Brother Junior was, putting the guitar up over the baggage. She said, what are you men doing? I said, we've been on a mission trip down in Mexico, helping Brother Isaiah Rodriguez. She said, can he play that guitar? I said, well, yeah. She said, get his attention. I said, Brother Junior. Now, this is the stewardess, and the plane is packed. She said, tell him to bring the guitar up here. Here he goes. Just like that, didn't you, Junior? With his guitar. So she keys up the mic like this, holds it down, and said, sing something. Guess what Junior started singing? He's the God of the mountain. Amen. Didn't he? Well, that got real good. It got real. Was you there, Brother Noah?
Yeah, he was there.
How many of y'all was there? Amy? Now, I want you to listen to this. All them drunks put all their liquor up. They quit ordering liquor. She said, can you tell him to sing another one? Guess what Junior done? He got that guitar. You want to know what he started singing? I'll fly away. He did beating on that guitar. I said, that is the best advertisement Southwest ever got. Hey, man, Benny, you ought to have been on that plane. Man, it got deathly quiet. Them drunks got real quiet. Hey, man.
They told me I could fly for nothing. That's true.
Yeah, right. Somebody asked me, do I sing? I'm wired up to, but I'm just all cut out wrong. Crazy thing. I appreciate Brother Lawrence. I do. I appreciate that good message on prayer. Boy, we ought to pray more. You know, I was reading this afternoon, or this morning. No, that was yesterday morning. Where am I at? Madisonville, Kentucky. I was reading, and I was trying to get my radio broadcast together. In 2 Chronicles, don't turn there, in chapter 7, verse 14, say it with me out loud. Say it with me. If my people shall, say it, humble themselves, and pray. And do what? Well, that's enough. All right. Notice that seek my face. Everybody says, we're seeking revival. Well, I understand the connotations of revival. But we ought to be seeking the face of the Lord.
Amen.
And his approval upon our lives.
Yes,
boy, it got quiet then, Brother Lawrence.
Amen.
I understand. Now then they got to put out revival flyers and bring in this well-known preacher, and well-known this, well-known that, and blue, red shirt, and red ties, and red this, and red that, and coordinating, and can sing. And, shut up, Melvin. I just did. Hey, okay, open. How many got your Bibles?
Yeah.
Right, kind little.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, the book of Acts, please, chapter 7. I still got that on my mind. The book of Acts, chapter 7, and I want you to listen to this. I owe a deep gratitude to Grace Baptist. Brother Barry, where's he at? Is he here? You was little. Him and Gene. Look here. Notice I said that. Brother Lawrence, how many years has the school been started? Well, I dare not ask a certain man to my immediate up here because he don't do math. Oh, I'm just picking. All right, 35 years ago, correct? I remember the first year I ever came here, that was it when I pastored, that was in the 70s, when Brother Downs was here. And they started the school. I also remember when Miss Sharon, she had that little bitty building that was right over here. Where am I at? Over there. Okay, that's been a long time ago. And I got so tickled, everybody looks at the top of my hair, especially some people, making fun of my thin hair. At least I got two or three strings. Ain't that pitiful? You use Mop and Glow? Hair growth. But I want you to listen to this. I honestly, for God, I've been in the hospital, and I had a growth removed from here, and sometimes my voice just leaves me, but I believe that there's a sovereign God looking after our lives. That takes care of us in every phase of our life. I believe that. I'll die believing that.
Amen.
But I looked up, and there was Brother Benny and Brother his boy, and then there was Brother Don Brown, and there was Brother Lawrence. I said, am I dying? As an intensive care. But I sure appreciate them coming. Bless their heart. I do. And I go back to that. We had some great meetings in this church. I mean great meetings. Amen, folks.
Amen.
Well, I mean some humongous times. One time I stayed here, 17 days? Preached three times a day. I preached everything I know and some things I'm not real sure of. But that has been a great thing. All right, Book of Acts, please, in chapter 7. And I want you to read with me. Now, everybody ought to be familiar with this. In chapter 7, in verse 54. Ready? Ready? Man.
Ready.
Ready. Thank you, Junior. Brother, y'all need to pray for me. I got to ride back with Brother George. Can I ride on the van? Would you please let me ride? Oh, man. I'll let him. Junior, can, oh, Gary, I don't forget this much. I'll ask you. Can I ride on the van? Oh, man, that's a good idea. I won't be able to live with him. But we preached everything we know all the way down here. My wife is going to come. And things just happened where she couldn't. Boy, and I appreciate everybody praying for her. She's doing so much better. Thank Amen. God. Amen. Amen. Now I get some cooking.
Yeah.
And I don't have to use a vacuum cleaner too much. And I don't have to go to the grocery store no more.
Yeah.
And they took her driving privileges away from her. Now she can drive. Ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
You got a good wife, you ought to shout.
Amen.
Brother Bradley, Yankee. Book of Acts, please, chapter 7. Verse 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now I want you to look at the two little words. But he, that is Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. All right, now he's gazing into heaven. Now look down, if you don't mind, in verses 56. Now he's talking to these, the council. Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now notice twice he says that. Now remember his eye gate, he's looking into heaven, verse 57. When they cried out, then they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears. They ran up on him with one accord. They cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, that Saul of Tarsus, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus. Now that's real important when he said, Lord Jesus. Receive my spirit, and he kneeled down. Now remember, he's standing, and the rocks are flying. And he kneeled down, and he cried with a loud voice, said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Now in that chapter, I want to show you the two little words, but he. Please underscore them for me. But he. Now go back to chapter 6 with me just for a moment. Let me give you a foundation, if you would, please. This man by the name of Stephen, we know that in chapter 6, we know that he's one of the seven that were called to be deacons. Amen, sister. Man alive, are y'all taking Valium or Prozac? All right, chapter 6. If you look in your Bible, in verse 3, among brethrenhood, it says, wherefore, brethren, look you out seven men of honest report, one, full of the Holy Ghost, that's number 2, and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, I want you to watch. But we will give ourselves, as the brother priest, continue to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man of what? Say it back to me. A man full of faith. Did y'all see that, Jason? Full of faith, number 2, look in your Bible. And then it says, and the Holy Ghost. So he's full of faith, now he's full of the Holy Ghost. And then I'm not going to deal with Philip. Now drop down to verse 8, please. Same account, but look in verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Preacher Broughton, you probably forgot more than I'll ever learn. Do you believe that verse? Do you believe that he did miracles and wonders? Right? So, all right, everybody around had to see and put their approval upon what Stephen done. Am I right? Full of faith, full of wisdom, and full of the Holy Ghost. Right? Now, flip over to chapter... Well, let me stay there for a moment. Let me build my foundation. Stephen got in trouble. Y'all all agree with that? Right. Stephen got in trouble because he is full of faith, full of power, and full of wisdom. Right. Y'all all agree with that? Right. I want you to watch this. Watch. All we do, if you don't mind, look in verse 13. So this council, these individuals, when Stephen, they set up false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. Now, I want you to watch what they got upset about. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, I want you to watch, shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all of they that sat in the council, that is them that told this lie on him, they looking steadfastly on him, saw his, say it back to me again, they saw his face as what, Brother Junior? How in the name of heaven would that religious crowd supposedly know what the face of an angel looked like? Now, chapter 7. Stephen got in bad, deep trouble over him being that first deacon that's appointed. Then we know he's full of faith, full of wisdom, and then full of power. Now, won't you look in chapter 7? I don't have time. So we understand that Stephen was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. He was chosen by the apostles, or they set their hands up on them, to be a deacon. Man greatly used of God for his glory. Do y'all believe that? Now, brother, hang on, Thomas. Benny. Noah just put his approval upon what Stephen done. Right. Did God stop the rocks from flying? Did y'all see that, Mickey? Did God stop the rocks from flying? So they picked the rocks up and began to stone Stephen, right? All right, what I want you to see, but he didn't stop the rocks. All right, but he didn't stop him from dying. Just because that we're having problems, marital problems, physical problems, health problems, does that mean that God doesn't love us anymore or any less? Boy, I'm glad we got a sovereign God in heaven. Amen. That knows every trial, every difficulty we'll ever have in our life, and he cares about us. Amen. And he cares about me. Hallelujah. I know I do dumb things. My preacher will agree with that, and he'll tell you that. I was over in intensive care, and they thought I was going to die. That's not up to them. They all thought I had cancer. The doctors come in there and told my wife and had her all tore up that we're almost positive from the looks of this thing and where it's at and his potassium level and his calcium level that he's probably got no doubt cancer. That's not up to the doctors. All right. What if they had pronounced cancer upon me? How would have I handled that? What if I was Stephen and stood up there and they began to throw rocks at me and hit me? Would that change anything? No. Listen to me. How do you know you don't have cancer? How do you know you don't have some vile disease in your body? How do you know that we, before you get out of this auditorium, that some individual may not come with a demon-filled person and shoot you? Right. You don't know that. Right. So I want you to look at the two little words, but he. Would y'all write it down for me, please? I may run out of the building, but I have to walk back, and I'm not My preacher won't carry me back, trust me. Y'all didn't get that, did you? Can y'all see Brother Broughton carrying me? Let me tell you what the sorry thing done. You see there? Y'all didn't hear that, did you? He dragged me. We was preaching them liquor meetings. We was preaching the liquor meetings. And Brother Broughton and I, and so I made the statement, you better get ready to go to jail. You know what my preacher said? I hope they don't put me and you in the same cell. Ain't that pitiful? Mickey, go with me. Look here, look, Captain America. I got to be good, brother. I got to hug. Betty, don't do that often. I have to do that. Well, I love Brother Jay. Now, I got to show you this. I promise you, I won't keep you long. That's what Elizabeth Taylor told her 10th husband. Book of Acts, chapter 7. All right, now watch it. He's a man that suffered greatly. Some of the most choicest men that I know are going through the fire. I mean, deep fire. I mean, if it ain't church problems, it's health problems. If it's not that, it's your wife problem, husband problem, children problems. Yes, sir. Ain't nothing tears you up all more than the church problems. Now, God wants you to write this down. Now, he saw Stephen, his life is over. When they stood him up, are y'all listening to me? Yes, and they started picking up the stones, his life is over as far as he's concerned. Did y'all hear him whine or gripe or complain?
No.
Wait till I show you this and you'll probably have a spell like me. Look in your Bible. Now I want you to watch how you're living. This man, full of faith, full of wisdom, amen, full of power. But notice now his life is coming down to an end. And notice, if you would please, his life is totally different than his accusers.
Yes, sir. Right.
Totally different than his accusers.
Amen.
I want you to watch this. I believe this. Every trial, every difficulty that comes in our life, it, number one, is to help us to grow. It's to help us to mature. And thirdly, I believe all these trials and difficulties is to make us more like Christ.
Amen.
For we are his workmanship created unto good works.
Yes, sir.
Look, if you don't mind, if you would, in your Bible. Now, this is going to really, we're going to wade out in deep water. But he, Brother Lawrence knows that I dearly love to alliterate. I work on it all the time. I try to alliterate. You know, let me tell you, get on my preacher. Many years ago, this has been preached to me. Years ago, I was over at Mount Vernon, preaching a revival. Filled, building filled with people. Filled with people. He said, I got down before service. They said, oh, God. I was talking to the Lord. I meant to say, illuminate my mind. Preacher Broughton told him all over the country, he said, eliminate, and said, God answered that prayer. He told the post office people. Now I go in, they say, hey, we know your mind's been eliminated. I don't tell stuff like I don't, Brother Broughton.
No.
I rat him out every chance I get. All right, one, if you look back in your Bible in chapter 6, he's fearless in his witnessing. Two, he's also faithful in his witnessing. Third, if you notice anybody, he's forbearing in love. Fourthly, he's filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know how y'all people feel, but I long for it.
Yes, sir.
I long for that anointing upon my life.
Amen, sir.
I long, not for the sake of anybody, but I mean, hey, that God could reach down and pick up any one of us at any time and be you greatly used of God.
Right.
And not for your self-entity or glory.
Right.
Too much of that junk anyway.
Yeah.
Let me show you. Now go back and I want you to write it down for me if you don't mind. How you living, that is different than his attackers. Ain't that a sign? Sometimes these difficulties come in our life because of foolish decisions that we make.
Right.
Hey, Brother Bradley, Mr. Intellect, Mr. Illinois. Your mom and dad's going to whoop you sure as your name. I offered his daddy cash money to take him out and worry now. I did. I'd borrow the money from Benny. Okay, now listen to me, Brother Bradley. Show me, if you would, in your Bible, in the book of Acts, where that Stephen done anything to bring this upon him. Show it to me. Where's it at, Benny? Where is it at that made Stephen, all he did was in chapter 6, was tell that crowd from the beginning, and he says, you do always resist the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Chapter 6. They got angry at him because he told them about the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and told them about Christ. Am I right? But the Bible says in chapter 7, but he. Oh, I love that. Down the road, you're going to need this. Every one of these preachers has been talking about coming hardships. Now I want you to watch and write it down. So he's living. Now what do you mean by that, Brother Sisson? God has his own purpose in our life to make us, grow us, mature us into his likeness. Now secondly, I want you to look who's leading him. Look in your Bible in verse 55. He being full of the Holy Ghost. Did y'all see that? Would you raise your hand? He being full of the Holy Ghost. Now chapter 7, just keep your finger there. So we understand, and then we come down to verse 55 and verse 56. Where is he looking at? What is he gazing at? Now, if you're right, look in your Bible. But he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into where? Heaven. Am I right? I love my preacher, but we're not to keep our eyes on our preacher. But our eyes ought to be fixed on the Lamb of God, Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
All right, if this comes down to this, I want to ask you. Look up here. Everybody look at me. 12 missionaries. The ISIS crowd, they crucified 3 of them. The other 8, they beheaded them. The kids, the little boy that was in front of their daddy, they cut off every one of them up to his fingertips in front of his daddy. Cut every one of them off. Them people are demented. You're very mature in the thing. If you think that we don't have sales in this country that would do the same identical thing to every Bible believer, if you say, by the way, they ask the question, are you a Muslim? Are you a Christian? All right, they said, we're Christian. They would not denounce Christianity. Thank God, amen. So they crucified them, and then guess what? Wonder if you'd have that much. Now, just put your mind in gear. But he, that is Stephen, right? So now he's looking, he's leading by the Spirit of God, and notice his livelihood. Now, won't you watch this? I want you to write it down. He's full of faith, full of wisdom, and then guess what? Full of the Holy Ghost. He didn't run into a booth somewhere and jerk off of his shirt and a big Superman on his chest. He's an ordinary man, just like you and I, that God empowered. But I like the two little words, but he. And once you watch this, boy, this is going to cut, the cream's going to come to the top. But he, notice twice he said he's standing. Notice that he saw the glory of God. How would you like that just for a moment? How would you like for the Lord? It's coming down. It's narrowing down. His life is over. You think it's going to matter, George, how many houses you built? He's an excellent framer, but a terrible driver. Yeah, he noticed he told that tale about me sitting over there riding shotgun, but he didn't tell you the rest of the story when I took hold of the armrest up here, Brother Lawrence. And he's on the other side of the road. What would you do? You'd probably say, dear Jesus, too. Amen. Heathen, I'm going to drive from now on. You ain't driving me. And I ain't riding around Mickey Winters either. But now watch this. But he, Gene, but he. All right, what would you do, Gene? And I'm asking you a point blank question. What if everybody in Portland, Tennessee turned against you? Your church turned against you. I mean, everybody, your family, everybody turned against you. What would you do? Don't even answer me. Don't answer me. Because you really don't know what you would do until it comes down to that time. Right? Right. But he... Now get this, do y'all think when they took him out there to stand him up, the accuser had to pick the first rock up, throw the rock, am I right? Yeah. All right, what's going through Stephen's mind? It says he looked up steadfastly. Now here's what I want you to see. Everybody write it down for me. I know you're thinking in your mind, well, but Jesus stood. Hey, Brother Benny. Why did Jesus stand? Just tell me what we've been taught. I believe that. Did y'all hear what he said? Welcome him to heaven. He's the first martyr. Right. Everybody get that? He's the first martyr in chapter 7. All right, if I know anything, if you read chapter 6, when the Jews, when they took decided to stone Stephen, did you know that's the last thing that God did before he turned from the Jews to the Gentiles? Read chapters 7, 8, 9, and 10 up until Cornelius. He's first converted Gentile. Did I say that right or did it come out wrong? Everybody's talking about the United States. Personally, I believe the line's drawn, Rita. And I believe America, I don't believe this. I personally believe we're under the judgment of God already. Yeah. You know the reason why that I'm here, Brother Lawrence? Are you ready? How many years have I called you and always tried to come down here? Every time, same year, same year, same year. I've been with Berean Baptist Church in Aiden, North Carolina for probably 25 years of my life, every year this time. Guess why I couldn't come? Well, other reasons. But they're totally not underwater, but everywhere they go, the drainage ditches is flooded. Nobody can get out, can't go nowhere because of the water. Look at Lumberton, North Carolina. Look at the fires and floods. Look at California. Well, brother, sister, that's just coincidental. I don't believe a word of it. No. Everything's heating up and heating up and heating up for the judgment of God. And to some degree, I even believe in global warming. God's heating up, getting ready to destroy this place. What do you think about that? I don't believe no Al Gore hugging trees and that junk. Or icebergs, and but God's heating her up, getting ready to burn it up. Amen. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? Yep. Amen. Amen. Do this. All right, so notice in your Bible, and I want you to watch. Now that we get up to Stephen, and Stephen is being stoned to death, I want you to watch this. This is going to be really, really, truly. Anybody here outside me ever got sick? You ever just been sick? Flat of your back? How many of you, would you raise your hand? Flat of your back. Flip over to Philippians, please, in chapter 2, and read this with me. Somewhere down the line, you're going to either have a stroke, heart attack, all kinds of problems. Lose your health. I'm 72. Well, soon will be. But I want you to listen to this. Does God, if you're laying flat of your back in intensive care, right away, the tendency is everybody's to think you've done something real horrible. Man, is it quiet in here? Won't you look in Philippians, please, in chapter 2. Won't you read this for me? Now, Paul is talking to the church at Philippi. Chapter 2, if you don't mind, in your Bible. And won't you to watch it. Now, we're talking about a man by the name of Epaphroditus. Verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, Paul said, and then companion in labor, my fellowship, my fellow soldier, your messenger, and he that ministered to my want. For he longed after you, was full of heaviness, because that you heard that he had been sick, for he indeed was sick, nigh unto what? Death! Well, why didn't God heal him? Why didn't, hey, by the way, if you read your Bible, when they walked in the shadow of some of them apostles, they were healed immediately. I personally believe Paul probably raised people from the dead. Then why didn't God see fit to raise Epaphroditus up? Next verse, I want you to watch this. Now, this will make you have a spell. I want you to watch. Now, Epaphroditus, in verses, he's sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. Hallelujah, thank God. God had mercy on him, amen. I want you to watch this. Then he says, not on him only, but on me, and lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again you may rejoice and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness. Hold such in reputation because for the work of Christ he was what? I want you to say it back because I ain't going nowhere. Do you tell me? He was sick nigh unto death. So if you have a stroke, heart attack, cancer, first thing the devil does if you're not careful, he'll jump on your shoulder and make you feel like, well, but notice Epaphroditus. He was sick nigh unto death for the work of Christ. Did y'all see that? Everybody says, you better slow down. You're going to have a heart attack. Not without the knowledge of God. You're going to have a heart attack. You're going to have a stroke. Yeah, I believe y'all to learn to take care of yourself. Say amen. Sure. But the point is, notice Epaphroditus, he was sick nigh unto death for the work of Christ's sake. Right. What a better way to be sick. Amen. I'd rather wear out and like, dear God, some of these people just wear out, amen. Sit on a church pew. Some people, their bottoms, I'm telling you, the pews have got hollow places where they sit on a pew so much. Yeah. You can't get them to do nothing, won't do nothing. What I'm saying is, he was sick nigh unto death for the work of Christ's sake. Ain't that a blessing? When I see that, that helped me.
Amen.
Two aortic valves replaced in my heart. Four times they've replaced the pacemaker, and it should have never been done. Then I had this other thing taken care of. Thought it might be cancer. What I'm saying is, I laid on my bed, and I thought before God, my wife went home, and I said, oh, God, thank you, Lord. My health may go. I want to run my race, finish my course. I want to die well. But if I have to go that way, I want to go out, thank God, in a blaze of glory, amen. Not because of men, but because of Christ.
Amen.
Amen, amen, sister. That blesses me, amen.
Amen.
Amen. What I'm saying is, I'm not down to it yet. Go back now. I want you to watch. I'll wind her down here in a minute. I want you to, why is Jesus standing? Have you ever made bad decisions? And then there's consequences to your decision. Hey, Stephen, up to this far, I've not seen where he's made no bad decision. All he's doing is a man full of faith, full of wisdom. You ever, anybody ever been critical of you? Is that not easy to do? It's easy to be critical. It's easy to find fault in everybody. I say, oh God, I don't want. I'll tell you what. Maybe y'all remember Preacher Buck Bowen. Preacher Buck Bowen, the Indian. You don't know him? I know Preacher Broughton does. Brother Lawrence, we went to Rome, Georgia. Am I right? I don't think I've told you this. He pastored that church for over 40 years. Fought hell and high water. He went there and started it just about like when y'all started Grace. Just a little chicken house up here from that. I can't figure out where in the world, which direction. But Miss Vicky and brother, he's a full-blooded Lumbee Indian. I've been there 30-some years of my life. Big old Indian, 6'4" or 6'5". He'd been sick, and everybody told him that he had the gout. Knuckles and joints swelling. They told him to take cranberry juice. Had hep. So he wouldn't go to the doctor. I'd beg and plead with him, Buck, you need to go to the doctor. You need to see about your kidneys. Go to the doctor and let him tell you. Luke was a physician. I ain't going to no doctor. All right. When he wound up in the hospital, I got to make this story short. When he wound up in the hospital, he was a picture of health outside of his kidneys not being able to function properly. Everybody get me? Everybody get that? When he went in the hospital, he spent 3 or 4 days in the hospital thinking that once they get his kidneys going again, he'll be fine. Right? Right? Nod your head. He gets up and they say, you can go home, but you've got to be able to give us a urine specimen before you go home. Is it against the law down here to say amen or anything? So, big old giant of a man, everybody in the room with him, they're going there to pick him up. They bring him his street clothes. He gets out of his hospital clothes and puts all his clothes on. Everybody getting that? He goes in the bathroom, and he can't go to the bathroom. He comes back out, and he lays down on his bed. Man, this blesses me. And finally, he just laid down on the bed. Laid down and looking out the window. Just looking out the window. And Vicky, his wife, was there, and his brothers was all there. Guess what that big old Lumbee Indian said? Oh, I'm in good hands now. And just like that, he left this world. I thought, what a way to go. What a way to go. Oh, I'm in good hands now. Would y'all mind telling me what the world he was seeing that we wasn't seeing? I'm in good hands now.
Amen.
Are y'all getting this?
Yes, brother.
Years ago, I want you to watch Stephen. When Stephen was dying, this is what gets me. Benny, he knows he'll never see his family again. He knows he'll never see his kids again. He knows he'll never, ever be used of God again. He is full of faith, full of wisdom, full of the Holy Ghost, right? But this, he knows he's coming to the end. It's over,
yeah.
Right? All right, Miss Sarah West, I love this. They called me and told me, I'm a nice pastor, and they said, Brother Sisson, said, do you have a lady by the name of Sarah West in your church? This back in the 70s. I said, we got some West in our family, in our church family, but I said, let me go see. Called them back. She's in Batavia. They said, she's dying. There's nobody here. Her family's not here, Miss Rita. She has nobody here. So I drove 35 miles from where I was at to Batavia, as hard as I could go. We had been there several times to meet, to have prayer with her, and read to her, and be with her, and try to fellowship with her. Nice lady. When I walk in, there's a nightstand. She's got a King James Bible open. Everybody with me? It's on the nightstand. They've got the rails of the bed is pulled up, and she's saying, sweet Jesus, bless his holy name. Sweet Jesus, bless his holy name. And so this lady come in, standing there beside me, and she said, are you a family member? I said, no. I said, I'm a preacher. She said, she's incoherent. I said, she knows more than I think me and you probably both do. So I said, is any of her family here? Any of her family? She said, no, Brother Sisson, they've not been here either today or yesterday that we know of. I'm telling you, I ain't never felt so hopeless and helpless in my life, ma'am. I want you to listen to this. She birthed them kids, changed their diapers, brought them into this world. Now she's laying there dying of the end. And she's saying, sweet Jesus, bless his holy name. Woo! Glory to God, my voice is about to come back. Sweet Jesus, bless his holy name. And just like that, Mary, she left this world. Ain't that a blessing? That tears all that tells every fiber of your mind up. Who was she seeing when she was saying, Barb, sweet Jesus, bless his holy name. Ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
Now look at Stephen. All right, he's looking into heaven, am I right? And notice twice it says he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. We know that when Jesus cried, it's finished, amen. We know that when he conquered death and on the grave, we know he got up and went into heaven and sat down, amen, right?
Right.
That's what you call a ruling monarch.
Right.
Do y'all believe he's just sitting on the throne right now?
No.
Do you ever see the Queen of England? She's not always sitting on no throne. Probably. Don't go there, Melvin. But she's the Queen of England. But I don't believe she just sits on a throne 24/7. But it denotes that she is a ruling monarch. So Jesus is what? Say it. King of kings, Lord of lords. He's a ruling monarch. Now guess what? Randy, you're right. I believe he stands to welcome you. I believe that.
Amen.
And I want to give you these three things and make you have a spell. Now look in your Bible. I believe he also stood just to show him that he's concerned about it. You can tell me all you want to. Well, Brother Sisson, that's the reason why I'll have a... they put so many people come in the intensive care that the doctor finally put a sign up out there that no visitors. He couldn't because he's getting in the ways of the nurses. But I appreciate people coming to my hospital room.
Yes,
I do. I appreciate that. Had prayer with me. Man alive. Stephen there, won't you watch this? He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father twice. Three or four times he used the word connotation see. He's seeing things that no earthly being seen. Oh, Lord, help us. Ready? He got every hair on my head. I got to tell y'all this. Y'all have a spell. I know I'm getting bald-headed, and I know I'm getting gray. I know that.
Amen.
Shut up, Benny. Hey, man, I see daylight. Brother Bradley, I went to this church, a pretty good-sized church. They got a vestibule out there. So I'm shaking hands with everybody. Hi, how are you? Man, I'm telling you, Brother Gene, this prettiest little girl you ever laid your eyes on, she's about 3 or 4 years old, five, whatever, just about that tall, come through. She had the prettiest dress on, and her hair was fixed. You just can't believe it. And you know how crazy I am. I said, now you're pretty. She says, thank you. I said, boy, your hair is gorgeous, beautiful. Who fixed your hair? She says, my mommy. I said, do you think she could fix mine? She looked top of my head and she said, that'd take a miracle. That's a true statement there. That'd take a miracle. But watch this. Not a hair can just hair, every hair on my head's numbered. Y'all not getting this. Every little insignificant bird, Lord knows about it. I can't even shed a tear, amen, that God doesn't put it in the bottle. I got as good as friends I ever had in my life in Woodville, Ohio. 44 years he worked at Ford Motor Company. Got out of Ford Motor Company, 2 years down, I mean just 18, 19 months down the road. He's in his fourth stage of dementia. Absolutely don't even know his own wife. He comes and goes. And I thought, oh, I'm so glad God cares about me.
Yes.
I'm glad God cares even if I got dementia, if I've got a heart attack, if I've had a stroke or whatever.
Yes.
I'm glad God cares and he's concerned about me. Concerned so much that he died just for me.
Yes.
Woo! That's done to pick the bag of hot iron from one infield to the other. They'd scream. Man, okay. He also stands to welcome the first martyr into heaven. This is the first individual martyr into heaven. Here's what I want you to say. Ready? He stands to honor him who stood for him.
That's right.
I can do that,
yeah.
Gene.
Yeah.
I can stand. Watch this. Jesus stood, Jason, because he stood for him when the rocks fall. Hit me.
Right?
This blesses me. Now, I hope I don't have to go by the rock throwing, but we may have to go by a worse thing. But if we live long enough, we're going to die.
Yeah.
Boy, I love this sign. I see this sign, Barry, coming down here, said, the only hope, said, just maybe Jesus will come before the election. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
We don't have to pull the lever on either one of them. Jesus comes, just let them have it. But he stood to welcome him, would y'all say amen? But he stood also because of his concern for him. And then he stood for him, guess what? To welcome the first martyr into heaven. And then he stood for his concern. But I thought about this. What you think doesn't matter a whole lot. Really? Look in your Bible, won't you? What? He saw the glory of God. That's the first thing he saw, was the glory of God. Saw Jesus, or the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Verse 56. Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. There's so many things in Acts chapter 7, a whole lot of them in comparison to Christ. The comparison is unbelievable. They lied on Christ, they lied on Stephen. Now, won't you watch? Drop down to verse 58. And they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him, and the witnesses, and the Bible says, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. I don't believe there's no accidents either. If you read your Bible in Acts 22, verse 20, that, by the way, Saul saw how they stoned Stephen, but he also saw how he died.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. That blesses me.
Yes.
Next verse. Watch this. But his name was Saul, verse 59. They stoned on Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down, cried with a loud voice. What? A loud voice. Amen. Man, the other day, I tell you the truth, I can't believe how liberal we're becoming. Man asked me, and honestly, I couldn't believe this. He said, why do you men are always so loud? Well, that's a good question. Look at everybody. Okay, I ain't going to answer it. Why are you preachers so loud? Well, there's some that's real monotone. But Jesus cried with a loud voice to show the world that he didn't die no. He died and showed to the world. Can you imagine the suffering Christ had to go through? Can you imagine this? The stoning. Do you think they just aimed at the bigger portion of his body? Shoot. How big they wanted to hit him in the head? Bruises all over him. And he cried with a loud voice. Isn't that a blessing, brother? I love it when I think about it. So everybody says, well, now, preacher, there's so many difficulties, so many problems. I understand that. I want you to go to hurt it. I thought about what matters is what you see, what you really can't see.
Amen.
I was laying in the hospital. I'll tell you, it's okay. And they had IVs all in my arm. All kinds of stuff dripping in me. I carry a pocket knife. I carry something else most of the time. But I carried a pocket knife. I'm in the hospital now. I hate them split gowns. So I'm laying there, and I have to go to the bathroom terribly. My hand, they've got restraints on this hand. There is the commode. That right there is the commode. I guess pride or call it whatever. I want to go to the bathroom, but I rang the button, but they didn't for the nurse, but nobody came. So finally, I managed to get out of the bed and get my pocket knife. I got my pocket knife, and I didn't cut the IVs, but I cut the restraints off. Now, why they didn't come in there and help me is beyond me, but they didn't. So they told my wife, they said, he got up and went to the bathroom and had a pocket knife. Then my wife informed me that they took the pocket knife. I said, why didn't they help me? How'd they know I had a pocket knife? Ain't that pitiful? But I cut them restraints off, went to the bathroom. But what I'm saying is they seen me, but they didn't help me. Ain't that pitiful? Probably the pocket knife. Wouldn't you think, Junior? You know, here's this crazy patient out, and he's got a pocket knife. Oh, y'all ain't getting nothing. When problems come and pressures come, we better have our eyes fixed on Jesus. I want you to listen. Our duty is to keep, I'm to be found faithful. We all agree with that. If people fall by the wayside and people quit, it bothers me to no end.
Sure.
But we're not to be watching them.
Amen.
Let me show you this. It'll all soon pass. Just watch this. When that last rock hit Stephen, and it says he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, and it says he laid not the sin to the charge, and he did what? Didn't say he died, read it. It says he fell asleep. You don't know when you fall asleep. You're tired, you close your eyes, drift off into unconsciousness. You either wake up by alarm clock, or somebody wakes you up, right? Nowhere in the Bible does it say saved people die. It says they fall asleep. Ain't that a blessing?
Yeah.
And the Spirit of God let us see that Stephen said, and he fell asleep. My mother-in-law and I closed. She's 90 plus years old when she died. She lived at the house with us, and I loved every minute of it. My wife and I have been married 53 years, and did you know my mother-in-law always took up for me? When me and Mary would get in a fight, Mama would always take up for me. I just loved her to death. I told her she'd come live with me, damn, she wouldn't do it as long as she brought her purse. Mama was dying. She loved the Lord. Did you ever say, hear her sing Amazing Grace? Did you, Barb, ever hear her sing Amazing Grace? She wrote a verse, and God gave her the fourth verse of Amazing Grace, and her voice was, she's 90 plus years old. I was in High Point, North Carolina preaching. My wife called me and she said, Mel, she is in Cincinnati, and she said she's in Jewish hospital. She said, if you want to see our mom alive, you need to come. So I told Brother Roy, I said, I need to go to Cincinnati to see my mother-in-law. So I drove all the way from High Point all the way to Cincinnati, about 10, 11 hours. Walked in the Jewish hospital. It's all gathered around my mom's bed. She took a little baby. I want you to listen to this. Her great-great-grandchild laid it in her arms and kissed it. Does that sound anybody like she's dying? You ever been around people that's dying? That don't sound like anybody dying, does it? So she kissed the little baby and loved on it, and she's told everybody in the room, sister, all of them by. Mama, I got in the room, Brother Yandel, and all the bed rails was pulled up. I'm tired, my eyes won't even focus. I was going to see my mother-in-law before she died. Remember I told you how she loved the Lord? Everybody's around her bed. Her children, my wife, all the kids is around her bed. I'm standing there now. Mama's not got no oxygen. She's not got nothing on her, no IVs, no nothing. And I said, Mary, wouldn't it be wonderful just to close your eyes and wake up in heaven? Guess what? On that note, she just closed her eyes, and just like that, she's ain't that a blessing? Just close your eyes. There's angelic beings coming, just carried right into the presence of God. She, man, we got everything in the world to live for. Get around, mope around. Everybody said, but sister, you need to be home. I know I do. I'm going home. Ah, boy, y'all are pitiful. I want you to watch this in that close, really. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, and he said, Father, or Jesus, lay not the sin to their charge. Don't that sound what Jesus did? And when he said this, he fell asleep. It blesses me. You ever held anybody's hand when he's dying? Hey, sister, give me a hand. I've been with people when he's dying. They've held my hand like this. Like this. Everybody see it? They're dying. And I've had them do this. As they're dying, just keep squeezing my hands. And their fingernails would just literally eat into the palms. You watch them as their eyes go back in their head and begin, that death rattle comes. They're gone, but they're cut. They'll almost put their fingerprints in your hands. You don't want to see nobody die lost. Let me say that again. You really don't want to see nobody die lost. And you know what's sad about it? Most of us have got unsaved loved ones.
Yes, sir.
They ain't going to die this death as we saw Stephen die. They'll die a horrible death. This whole thing's been about caring about people. Hey, almost every message. But he, ain't that a blessing? But he. So you ought to watch how you live. Ought to watch how you look. And guess what? You ought to watch what you're leaning on. All the insurance in the world can't help you when you're dying. Or when you got terminal cancer.
Amen.
Let's stand, please. Heads bowed. Brother Lawrence, is it all right if we sing a verse of invitation?